This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spiegel and Holmes.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at the Score, and not just kidding. But,
Afternoons on the Score.
Time for some action. I think we want to be an attacking, aggressive style of defense. I think we want to take the fight to the offense and not let the offense dictate the tempo to us. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to challenge everything. We're going to play the game the right way. We're going to play a tough, physical, you know, brand of football. And I think the brand of football that you come to expect at the Chicago Bears.
That's Dennis Allen, the new Bears defensive coordinator. The Bears are out here making moves. Offensive line, they're doing it. Drew Dahlman is now a Bear. They brought in Joe Tooney last week, Jones Jackson last week, and now they have added on the defensive line too. Grady Jarrett is now a Bear. This is wild that they are out here doing this way.
Grady Jarrett is a Bear, and Dio Odengbo, the 25-year-old defensive end who can also play inside, is now a Bear from Indianapolis as well.
So I always introduce this guy as a top five on the Bears sack list, but he always will correct me and go, no. Make sure you say that I'm fourth, because I don't want people thinking that I'm fifth. He is fantastic. On the Full Go podcast with Jason Goff. He is our guy, Alex Brown, and he joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. What's up, AB?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
We are doing really well. This seems like a time for, if you're a Bears enthusiast, it seems like a time to celebrate. They have made a lot of moves. What have you thought about it?
I think they're addressing, if you're a Bears fan, you know what this offseason was going to be, and they're addressing the needs. They're addressing the needs on the defensive line, on the offensive line. They're addressing the needs of up front. You look at what Detroit had going on. I hear people talking about Drew Brees a lot in that offensive line he had, where he could step up into the pocket, creating those two guards and that center, making sure you have that clean pocket to step up into away from those edge rushers, which we do have a few edge rushers in the NFC North. So you got to be able to step up into the pocket, and I think they've done a good job of addressing that. Now the guys just got to play together. Fortunately, we're talking about veterans here that should mesh well about a weekend, and they should be pretty good and ready to go. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do now, because I think it gives them a lot of flexibility in the draft on how they want to approach that.
These are veterans who know what they're doing, and they show up. I mean, Odengbo from Indy has played in 51 games. He's played in all 51 games down there. Yep. So it's like, I mean, it's game on to have veterans that can step in and do it. What do you think about Grady Jarrett? What have you thought about that dude? That's a 31-year-old man, former fifth-round pick, who's been in Atlanta forever, a stalwart in the middle of the defensive line, and we'll have to learn more about him. So tell us what you think about him, and think about them adding somebody instead of, like, hoping Jervon Dexter just makes the next step.
I think I think you still can hope that Dexter Senior can continue to move forward and be that guy in the middle. But you also bring in a veteran that can actually teach him and help him along. A guy that is built for a gap style defense. Like, he's shooting a gap. He's getting upfield. When he's healthy, he is a monster, and he's a problem for any offense to have to deal with. So having that problem in the middle, now it helps our edge rushers. So it helps out Sweat. It helps the opposite end. It helps on blitzing where the quarterback can't step up into the pocket. So you want those guys in the middle. I mean, we had Tommy Harris, Tank Johnson, Ian Scott. Yeah, those guys that can get up the field in a hurry. And that's what you get, I think, in a 10-year veteran like Grady Jarrett. So I'm glad we made the move. I'm glad he's coming to Chicago. I think he's going to be a huge help, not just his productivity, but helping some of the young guys, and especially Dexter on that defensive line.
I got to ask you about Dexter, because I've been playing fantasy football with the Bears defensive line, AB, and I'm wondering, does it make any sense at all to ask Dexter to maybe move outside a little bit?
To defensive end?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay,
no.
I just wanted to play around with it, because I know that he's athletic, and it's a little bit of a different thing that he was doing as a five instead of a three technique, what they're asking him to do here.
Well, I wasn't laughing at your idea. I was laughing at the defensive end himself. I was laughing at it. His not tone.
It's just a solid defense. So I'll say this. Depending on what the DC runs, what Allen runs, it depends on what he does. So when I was down in New Orleans and they had Will Smith playing right end and I was playing left end, well, left end isn't the traditional left end that I always played. I was playing inside eye of the tackle. Now, if they're going to put him there, then I think he can play that. But if we're talking about him being outside of the tackle, I don't want him there. I don't think you get the most out of his talent having him outside of the tackle. If you're going to play him in an inside eye of the tackle where he's sometimes he'll get double teamed, or he almost forced a double team or forced that tackle to kind of hold off from just jumping outside to whoever you got blitzing on the outside, and he's rushing on the guard, kind of like a wide three technique almost. If that's where he's going to play, then sure. But I'm not sure what Allen's going to do yet, so I'm anxious to see. I think he is a very talented player. I think when you're talking about talented players, you get the most out of players depending on where you put them. When Urlacher was at Sam linebacker, he still was a talented player, but you weren't getting anything out of him.
You know,
you put him at middle linebacker, and okay, now he's 54.
That's a great answer from Alex Brown, and let's follow up on it, because we've been living with the Matt Eberflus defense, which has basically been a next evolution of the Lovie Smith defense. The Rod Marinelli, like the cover two. And we've been thinking about, all right, well, that means four dudes on the line, and those edges like better be ready to attack on the edge. But Dennis Allen runs a 4-3, but not all 4-3s are the same, you know? And you know better than us, and you just gave a little window to it, but tell us some more about the defensive line usage in a Dennis Allen defense, like this version of it, because Odengbo might move around. Dexter will move around, but that doesn't mean they'll play on the edge. Like, all right, now go be Julius Peppers on the edge. Like, that's not what we're talking about, really.
No, for sure. I think what Coach Allen's defense is going to require is flexibility from players. So having players that can play multiple positions, I think, is what they'll be looking for to fit in these defenses. So they don't have to. So offensive coordinators don't know what they're doing when they get a certain package out there or a certain guy runs on the field. They don't know. So if you can intertwine guys and have guys play different positions, then I think that defense works the best that way. If he's able to do that, if he's still running the same thing that I remember from being down in New Orleans. So what you think about in a 4-3 defense, there is so much more to think about in Dennis Allen's defense. Like, if it's 2x2 or if it's 3x1, three receivers on one side, one receiver on the other side, you have a totally different job. And you have to know that. So the defensive line in a 4-3, I didn't care what the receivers were doing unless I was in a zone blitz. But in this particular defense, you will have to know where the running back's lining up, where the fullback is, or where the tight end is lining up, because it changes what you're going to do. So it's a lot more to think about. But if the guys can get it, it really puts the offense in a bind, because you hear the checks that the offense is making, and before the ball is snapped, you already know, if he makes this check and they fan everything right, well, our safety is going to hit him in the back of the head if he don't get rid of the ball right now. Everybody knows that. So in that defense, you already know the big plays is going to be made prior to the ball being snapped or the opportunity to make a big play. You will know that.
What did you think of Dennis? I know he was, I believe he was the DB's coach when you were down there on the D-line.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Did you see some wisdom on him? And like, you think he's good at this? He seems to be creative and good at this.
Hell no, he ain't good. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. Yeah, no, he is. He is good, and he will be creative. He will be creative. He had a lot of pieces in that secondary that he can kind of work with. Malcolm Jenkins being one. Malcolm would come down and in some defenses, Malcolm would come down and play the middle linebacker, and in that particular defense, I mean, he's just like, what? And Vilma would go off. Or he'd come down and play the two linebackers with Vilma on there, and it's like, wait a minute. But he was so versatile, he could do it. And running man coverage means man coverage. I don't care if the receiver runs clean across the field, there is no help, and you stay with him. So when they say zero blitz, that is an actual zero blitz. You have zero help. So it's a tough thing. It's not an easy defense to run, but it's exciting. It gives the players an opportunity to make some big plays, and if they buy into it quick, we'll see it right away, because it's fun. It's a fun type of defense. It's not necessarily predicated on just being more talented than the offense. A 4-3, a traditional 4-3 cover 2, your front four has to be more talented than them. That's why you got a guy like Lovie Smith. He trades Marty Booker to bring in Adewale Ogunleye. He uses his first two picks to get two D tackles that can run 4, sub 4, 7. Like these guys, you have to have those guys in a 4-3. In this particular defense, if you have those guys, great. But you have to have guys that can think on the run, that can move, and they'll play together, but it's not predicated necessarily on just being more talented.
Wale is fifth on the Bears' all-time sack list. Alex Brown is fourth. You have to be very clear about that. He is
absolutely
top four.
You know who Wale is tied with? You know who's tied for fifth right there?
Urlacher?
No, right. Urlacher's a half sack behind. It's former de facto Bears president, Trace Armstrong. It's right there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
See, there you go.
I beat both of them. Okay, great.
Yes.
I beat all of them.
Yes,
okay.
you beat all of them.
The ahead of me are who? What guys are ahead of me?
Dan Hampton, he was pretty good. Steve McMichael, he was pretty good.
He's in the Hall of Fame, too.
And Richard Dent. So three Hall of Famers ahead of you. That's
so
it,
all
AB.
Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All Hall of Famers.
All three of those guys, and then it's you, and then it's everyone else.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So there's a buffer between me and the rest of those guys. I'm connected with the Hall of Famers up there. And then there's a little buffer, and then there's the other guys.
I would say your sack numbers are closer to the other guys than to the Hall of Famers, but
we didn't have to do that.
We can stay with that lie, and it's totally fine.
In terms of the list itself, you are closer to the Hall of Famers.
But I can tell you this much from sitting next to the man for a few years.
Yeah.
He's real happy that Khalil Mack got out of town, because Khalil Mack.
He was coming.
He was on his way.
I've heard that before. I heard Mark Anderson was on his way too, you know. But hey, that's fine.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Hey, when I heard that Khalil Mack, like, he may be available in the Bears, I'm like, damn it, are they gonna get him back?
He's only 7.5 behind you, but
beautiful.
He is staying with the Chargers. So you don't have to worry about that.
As
a defensive lineman, love to know what you think of the guys at the Bears sign on the offensive line. Drew Dalman, Joe Tooney, Jonas Jackson. Like, this looked like they really want to get stronger guard to guard.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they need. You have to have a clean pocket. I mean, from the defensive side, when you're thinking about it, you want to disrupt that pocket. You want to get the quarterback off his spot. That's your goal. Not allow him to throw the ball on time. When you protect him and you have that center, you have those two guards. I mean, think about it. When our offensive line, the last time in my mind that we had a really good offensive line, you had Roberto Garza, Olin Cruz, and Ruben Brown. Those are your center and two guards. Pretty damn good, you know? And then you go out and you find John Tate, and you get Fred Miller. But, like, you have to be strong up front because that's where the quarterback has to step up. If he can't step up, that's a defensive end, or a speed rusher, or edge rusher. That's an edge rusher's dream for the quarterback not to be able to step up. It's amazing. So you just hit him in the back of the head or hit him in the face. So, I mean, either way, you're going to get the sack. So it was good.
Is it surprising to see them be this active? Because the Tooney move is the one that threw me off, AB. Like, it's the one where I was like, oh, my. Like, that's a real guy who has worked with Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and has been a great player for a long time. And seeing the Bears be that active and taking advantage of other teams in almost every one of these scenarios so far, they've taken advantage of the fact that they have the cap space and other teams don't.
Yeah, and they're paying attention. And they're paying attention. They're doing their homework long before today when we find out, oh, man, we got Grady Jarrett. Well, they've been looking at Grady Jarrett for a minute now, you know? So you know they're doing their homework and seeing who may be available. And if this player is available, where do they fall on our board? Or where do they fall where we, as far as our need on this football team? So I like what they're doing. I think there's still some work to be done. There's still some things to, that I'm really interested in seeing how they approach the draft now. Now that you've shored up some holes, presumably, like you've shored up a few things that you went into the offseason and you're like, dang, we got to fix this. Well, now you've done that. And now we got a little breathing room to make a move here and there. And I'm interested to see what they do. Will you take that pass rusher if he's there? Will you take Campbell if he falls to you? Or another offensive tackle? I mean, do you want to just solidify the offensive line and have a young left tackle in there that can learn from these three veterans? Do you want to do that now? Or if that pass rusher, I don't think Abdul is going to fall there.
No,
that's the guy I want.
If Pierce is there, well, I mean, we all would love to have Abdul Carter on the team. Yeah, but there's no way he's falling there. And are we going to trade everything to get up there to get him?
I was hoping that foot injury was just bad enough, but not too bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yep. Oh, yeah. No, I understand that.
Hey, even SEC defensive players of the year end up slipping in the draft sometimes, right? And they end
that
up.
That is true.
And then
that
they
is end, true, but then, the SEC defensive players of the year, they slip when they run 4.7, not when they run 4.48.
Should have taken the sandwich out of your pocket.
AB, as always, man, thanks for picking up the phone. We appreciate you.
Always, my man. No problem.
So, look, Alex Brown just addressed the draft. Let's throw open the phone lines and talk to the people here, Lawrence.
Yeah, let's have a little fun. Let's talk. This is a good day to be a Bears fan.
And as a backdrop, what does this do to the draft where you are now? They've signed a defensive end who can also play inside in Odengbo. They've signed a D tackle in Jarrett. They've signed now a center to add to the guards that they traded for. What is off the table at number 10, if anything, for you? And I also like thinking about the three picks in the top 41 as a collective. Like, we've been saying two linemen out of those three picks.
You ready to give up on that?
Let's discuss.
All right.
Let's discuss.
Let's take your phone calls, too, and we could talk a little bit about Keenan Allen as well.
Yeah, Keenan Allen's gone. He went to the Chargers.
That's what I thought.
I'm cool with it. Good for him.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, go enjoy. I think that third wide receiver, Ben Johnson, doesn't play three wide outs as much as Shane Waldron and the Bears did. Not even close.
And while I do think Keenan Allen is one of the premier route runners still in this league, I think that they might be looking for something a little different and maybe less expensive for that third wideout, whoever that wideout is going to be for the Bears.
It better be somebody who blocks like a badass, too.
Well, that is something that Keenan Allen did do. So they do have to replace that, but they've got it. They now have an opportunity for it, and it shows some faith in Roma Dunze, too. Here's your opportunity, kids. Step on up. 312-644-6767 is the number. What a day for your Chicago Bears. We want to hear from you about it. You can hit us up, too, via text with the same number. And if you're inside the mob, hello. A lot of people on the stream today. We appreciate you. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. We're talking Bears. Back after this on The Score.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes. I definitely listened to 6-7 The Score growing up for sure. Driving around in the car with my dad, he'd always have it on.
Afternoons on The Score.
Bear down.
Doug Kramer. Hello to Doug Kramer's father. If you're out there listening to the Spiegel and Holmes show. And Doug Buffone. So Doug's everywhere you look. The Bears have made 3 signings. According to the news, nothing official from the team, no announcements until Wednesday, but they've added a defensive tackle, a real good vet in Grady Jarrett, a defensive end from the Colts who can also play inside, who goes by the name of Dio Odengbo. And they've added the center, the best center in this class, Drew Dahlman.
Keenan Allen is a Charger again. So there's an opportunity for the Bears to go and find another wide receiver, and it gives the starting job to Rome Odunze. They have made moves on the offensive line. Jonah Jackson, Joe Tooney, Drew Dahlman.
Mm-hmm.
They have been active. They have been out here in these NFL streets.
So for me, Lawrence, interior line is off the table at 10 in the draft.
That's fair.
I don't want to fill another spot. Tackle still completely on the board at 10. You don't believe in Braxton
I think that's
Jones?
Fair too.
Go get yourself a left tackle. You got four new linemen? Okay, that's fine. And then you got a young left tackle to go with a young right tackle in Darnell Wright. So left tackle completely on the board. Of those top three picks, those top four, the three in the top 41, I don't think I need two of them to be used on offensive linemen anymore. I think I'm a little more open because that's where I was two of the three.
I'm definitely not going guard unless it's Quentin Nelson. Unless Quentin Nelson is out there, you have a version of that out there at 10. I'm telling you, this is the draft to move down. And you don't have to get crazy. You can only move a couple of spots and get yourself some extra picks and still get players that you think can help you immediately mm-hmm. for this team. I just feel like this has opened them up to all of the possibilities. I'm with you on you don't need to go interior lineman at 10. Tackle is still something that I think they should explore. I'm pretty much, this is weird for me to say, at this point of the year, I'm pretty much okay with whatever they do at 10. If they trade down, if that's what something they want to do, if they pick Ashton Jeanty at 10, I'm okay with it.
I don't think that Jeanty is special enough to go 10, and I like other running backs in this draft enough to be comfortable with them getting one later on.
If they trade down to 15 or 16 and take my guy Malachi Starks, I'm good with that because I think that they do need another good safety. I'm not sure where things stand with their safety position right now.
I want a toolsy, really fast edge rusher. That's what I want.
Okay.
That's
you don't have to sell me on that.
Yeah, that's if they're sitting there at 10 and there's options there. I want a toolsy, fast edge rusher with big time potential.
There's a lot of options available for the Bears, and this is a day to rejoice. They are out here making moves. 312-644-6767. By the way, we are going to find out more about Dio Dingbo in about 10 minutes with our buddy J.J. Stankovic. Let's go to Peoria and talk with Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the Speed Going Home show.
Hey, we're all having a great day, and I started thinking about the Tunney thing, which put me into everything else that happened after that, but wouldn't it be great to give him an extension today? And I heard Andy Reid talking about him already. You know how great Andy talks about him. And Andy said someday he's going to make a great coach, too. I'd like to have him back for that. So now
we don't have to jump that far ahead.
No, but a Tunney extension is worth thinking about.
Yeah, but we don't have to jump all the way to him being a coach.
He's only a player coach.
No, we're not. What are we doing? Like, no. You don't know.
Yeah.
Because eventually, what you pay coaches is way less than what you pay players.
That's how he led when he called. That's why I told you guys take Mike first because he wants him to be a player coach.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you don't need to jump that far. Let's go out to Orland Park and talk with Ray. Hey, Ray, you're on the Score.
Hey, fellas. Good to talk to you.
Thanks,
now,
Ray.
The Bears have won a trophy for the offseason 3 years in a row. Too bad those trophies don't count for much, but when was the last time you could say that they've signed five starting linemen?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't remember that ever happening.
I don't know if it ever has.
History.
I mean, they traded for two of them and then signed three of them today. Talk about investing in the trenches. Five veteran starters on the offensive and defensive line.
It's
crazy.
It's wild to do that. Like, it's great.
Yeah,
this is what you came here for.
Wait a minute. We'll do some Cubs a little bit later on.
On the Score.
That's right. Yeah, man. This is like, and it's great. The last time they rebuilt the offensive line this much, they went to the Super Bowl. In an offseason. So like really, really dedicating to it. So it gets exciting. Did you mention the Laremy Tunsil trade? By the way,
dude,
the Commanders just traded a pile of draft picks to the Texans for Laremy Tunsil and one draft pick coming back. Like, they got a four coming back.
Well, if you think about it from the Texans' perspective, they're getting ready to give their quarterback a whole lot of money. So you better start getting draft picks ready so that you can replace some of the guys on your roster that are making money that the quarterback's getting ready to take.
Yeah. I mean, all team building philosophies around the NFL are not equal. They're greatly influenced by whether your quarterback's any good or getting paid.
So let's go back out to the phones. Let's talk with Donnie on the South Side. Hey, Donnie, you're on the Score.
What's going on, boys?
Hey, Donnie.
I got a lot
Donnie?
Of excitement today. You know, I'm a Notre Dame College Prep alum, Catholic League boy here. You know, we build in the trenches. I'm used to that. I'm glad that's what Poles did. He opened up the checkbook. We got some boys in the trenches, all starters. You know, it's about damn time. And now we can go whatever we want to do in the draft. He's got ace. And he's going all in. We got to go all in now. And, you know, Mike from Peoria, you know, he's talking about Joe Tooney extension. I agree with that. But coaching, we got Dan Ruchar. He's going to be there 20 years with Ben Johnson. We're going to have 6 damn Super Bowls. I'm excited, boys.
Oh, it's good.
Southside's up.
Couple things. Ace 8 is...
No, Ace Ace.
Ace Ace. Oh, you said Ace Ace. I thought he was
ace,
saying...
Ace Ace all in.
Ace, okay. All right. So Ace Ace all in. So, yeah, he's got, a pair of aces. I get you. What did he say? He's a Notre Dame Catholic League Southside something boy.
Notre Dame Prep, I think, is what
he said.
Notre
Dame Prep. I thought he was saying Notre Dame University, and then there was also a prep thing, and there was a lot of.
I think what he's saying is that Notre Dame Prep is where they
lines.
They do.
We believe in big beefy linemen.
Would you like a scouting report on Grady Jarrett?
Sure.
I reached out to Big Ant Heron, and I said, "Hey, tell me about Grady Jarrett." Here's what he said. Still an extremely active player despite being on the other side of 30 after a lot of career snaps. Can line up versus either guard or versus either tackle, but has his most impact position at this point in his career as a 3-tech. Extremely violent hands and chases the ball from the backside like a madman.
Wow.
What probably excites me the most is having Jarrett and Billings in the room together with those young linemen and what that can mean. It's one thing to coach up their development, but quality vets who not only prepare like pros, but who approach the game with the proper temperament sets the tone young guys can learn from.
All right, that's crazy good stuff from Anthony Heron. He should break down football as a member of the media, in my opinion.
I agree.
He should do it on this station, in my opinion.
I imagine that in the next 24 hours, you will hear a lot of Anthony Heron.
Hell, maybe on this show. You never know. I want to hold on to that and swim in that. Might ask you to read it for me again a little bit later, because... You can't pretend that you've been watching every Falcons game to know an interior lineman. I can't pretend that, and I wouldn't. But that's a guy, Anthony Heron, who watches film on this stuff and needs to. And that was some really good stuff. I love the idea of the energy of how he chases on the backside like a madman, even at this age. I like that at this age, he's best as a 3-tech, so he's still violent with the hand slap, and he's still quick like that. And the two vets, him and Big Bill, let's go.
And then flip it. The same thing that Big Ant is saying about Jarrett is what people have been saying about Tooney. That... just watching the way that he approaches getting ready will hopefully help young guys to learn how to do this.
Yeah, this feels very competent. Is that different than the last two off seasons? We liked him.
I thought last year's off season was solid. Yeah, I just think philosophically,
this is more sound. It's more honest.
Yes, it is.
More
out
realistic.
To Beverly and Ed. Hey, Ed, you're on the Score.
Hey guys, how you doing? Love your show.
Thanks, Ed.
If I was the GM, which I'm not, obviously, I would go back, pick up the kid. I would trade our pick, move back, get the kid from North Dakota State, Zabel. I know he could do guard and center. He adds depth. And then in the second round, pick one of the running backs from Ohio State or the other guy from Iowa.
First of all, thanks for clarifying that you're not the GM, because there was a minute there where I'm like, man.
Is he on the guest line?
But his thoughts are interesting. He's talking about Gray Zabel, who can play all over the offensive line, blew people away as a center at the Senior Bowl, but played tackle at North Dakota State.
Didn't Logan Paulson say that was his guy, too?
He brought up Zabel. Bowen, after the week of Senior Bowl. Remember, Bowen was over the moon.
Yes, he was.
About Zabel. Somebody else brought him up. I think it was Brandon Thorne who maybe brought him up. Like, Zabel's name has been floating around a lot. But I don't know. Like, I don't think he's an NFL tackle. That's the issue. So if he's not an NFL tackle, you just signed somebody to play center for the next couple of years. So I'm not sure about drafting a guy that high for that. I do agree with him about one of the Ohio State running backs. I like Judkins. I like Quinton Judkins. So I like that idea of doing that a little bit later in the draft.
Let's get a scouting report on Dayo Odengbo. Our guy, J.J. Stankovic, knows him well. He's going to join us to talk about it and talk about the Bears because, you know, he covered the Bears for a decade.
Yeah, when can we schedule the next reading of Anthony Heron's scouting report on Grady Jarrett?
5 o'clock.
I might need it sooner.
All right, that's fine.
All right, we'll get there.
We'll find a place for it, but it's definitely out there. And who knows? Maybe we should talk to Anthony tomorrow.
Oh, we could do that too.
Let's just do that. Let's just agree that we're agreed. Okay, we're gonna talk with Anthony here tomorrow.
I'm gonna need you to read that again, though.
Schedule permitting. But next up, J.J. Stankovic is gonna join us to give us his thoughts on what he's seeing the Bears do and on their new defensive lineman Dayo Odengbo. That's next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
All right. Well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried. But I'm always worried. So.
That's your thing.
Yeah, that's my bit.
Afternoons on The Score.
Shotgun snap for Mayfield. In the pocket. The ball is stripped. The ball is
Ebuton.
Out. Around the 38-yard line. No signal yet. Colts ball. It's Colts ball with a recovery by Dayo Odengbo.
Ebuton.
And a strip sack by Samson Ebuton. Dayo Odengbo with the recovery. And the Colts have two takeaways today. And Indianapolis has tied a season high with 6 sacks on the afternoon. They had 5 in Germany. So they now have 15 sacks in their last 3 games. And Indianapolis takes over after a takeaway, a strip sack recovery for the Colts.
Tanny found a Dayo Odengbo highlight. It was just him falling on a football to recover it. I'm sure you were. Yeah.
Get it?
I get it. I'm sure you were looking for something a little flashier, but you still found one. That's solid work.
No, but it works because of the relationship that JJ and I have, too. I might have to whiteboard this for speed.
Oh, no, that's right.
No, it's still your pinned tweet, I think, right?
It is, because it's like it's my favorite moment that I ever had in television.
I see.
It was with JJ Stankovic.
Got it. That's right. I remember now. I'm an idiot.
It's all good. JJ is here to help us. He's joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. I'm sure that you have called out the name of Dayo Odengbo as he makes a play on the PA system for the Colts. Hi, JJ.
Hi, Lawrence. Hi, Speegs.
What's going on, man? So what does it sound like when you call out his name as the PA guy?
Sack by number 54, Dayo Odengbo.
That's outstanding. 54, 54 not available here, though, I don't believe.
Not available.
Really? One of the, why?
It's, yeah. Not retired, though.
Oh, just, so maybe it is available.
No, you just can't have it.
Yeah, okay.
Because they've had too many retired numbers.
That's right.
You just kind of can't. It's well, back in a, you can't have it.
Yeah.
You cannot have
I mean, you could take
number.
It, but then Brian would come calling, probably.
No, he's got a lot of help these days, so it's not going to go well for you. What are the Bears getting in Dayo Odengbo?
Loho, they're getting a big guy at defensive end, which I really like how he works in that Dennis Allen defense. He's 6'6", 285. He's strong. He can push the pocket. You know, he still maybe is working a little bit on refining some of his other pass rushing moves, but a guy is 25, and I think he's an ascending player. And, you know, I think we here in Indy were definitely interested in keeping him. But if you look at what the Colts did today in free agency, that money kind of going more toward the secondary when you have, you know, the Colts invested first-round picks into Leiatu Latu and Kwadipe. They invested a lot into the interior of their D-line with DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart. Probably just not the room for Dayo Odengbo to spend, you know, however much he's getting from the Bears. So a really good player, guy who's well-liked in the Colts locker room, who I think is probably still, you can define him as an ascending player still at this point in his career.
All right, that's useful context right off the bat. I'm so glad we called. I mean, it's like, because for every time you get excited about an acquisition, there's a reason that they're letting him go. He's coming out of his rookie deal. He's giving you nice utility, but it's not like he's a difference maker as an edge rusher where you're going to sign him. Like we just got rid of DeMarcus Walker, you know, who's very good at holding the edge and could collapse the pocket, but not a ton of moves. You know, are we looking at it? It sounds like it's sort of what you're describing with the Dangbo. Like they still need a flashy edge rusher. This guy is not that.
No, but I think if you look at how the Bears have that D line set up, especially, I mean, I love getting Grady Jarrett in there. I think it makes sense to kind of have more of the power guy. It also, from my understanding of it, Dennis Allen, that's kind of something that he likes out of his DN. So Chicago, I thought, would be a great fit for Dio Odangbo. You know, really happy for him. A guy who, you know, just a good guy, really nice guy. Every conversation and interaction I had with him was you know, really positive. Really, really happy for him. I think it's a good fit. You know, I couldn't tell you literally anything about DeMarcus Walker and how he compares to him, but I can tell you that, you know, there are believers in Dio Odangbo, not just with the Bears, but around the league. You know, I think, you know, something Chris Ballard said is it sounds like his market, you know, the Colts expected his market to be pretty strong. And I think the contract he got and how quickly he was able to sign it probably showed that.
J.J. Stankovic does a little bit of everything for the Colts. You can read his work on Colts.com. You can hear all of the podcasts and all of the history stuff that he's done down there for that franchise. It's been amazing to see. You seem pretty ready to empty the clip on a Dennis Allen scouting report. Go forth, young man. What do we need to know about how Dennis Allen does?
Literally, that's because I heard, I think it was Robert Mays say that on the Athletic Football Show. So I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like why the Bears would want, you know, a bigger defensive end at, you know, to play in that Dennis Allen system. Now, don't ask me any follow-up questions like you just did.
All right,
I had
fair
one
enough.
Specific thing. Lawrence, I had one specific thing I was ready to bring here, and you go, let's get the Dennis Allen scouting report in.
Hey, man.
All right, let's stop there.
Could be worse. He could have asked you about DeMarcus Walker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could have done that. But all right, then I'll follow up with this. JJ, you covered a lot of Bears off seasons where it looked like the Bears had won in the offseason. When you look at the moves that they've made so far, does anything feel different from the teams that you covered?
Yeah, because they invested in the lines. I mean, I think about when I covered them in 2018, the investments they made that year were what? Trey Burton, Taylor Gabriel, Cody Parkey. You know, then yeah, they obviously went out and got Khalil Mack in the trade, but that offseason it was, you know, oh, the Bears, how could I forget my guy Chase Daniel was part of that that class as well. I like when teams invest in the lines in free agency. You know, if you don't have maybe this like glaring need at a certain other skill position, you know, or in the defensive backfield, like, hey, if you're going to strengthen one part of your roster that needs help in an offseason, you can usually do pretty well to do it on the defensive line and then the offensive line. So I like what I've seen from the Bears this offseason. It seems like, you know, you'll give Caleb Williams a really good shot at, you know, being a, you know, kind of taking that next step in year two with a really good interior. And then hopefully that defense under Dennis Allen can make a big leap, you know, with some of these investments as well.
God, it's so true. Every year, inevitably be like, you know what they really need to fix is the lines. They need to invest in the trenches. I mean, and I'm not even making fun of the opinion. I'm making fun of like the amount of times that we've heard it because it's probably always had some merit because it's freaking football, man. Olin Krutz, like all the guys we talked to, like reinforcing that. And I think the league is reinforcing that over the last couple years. Would you agree with that, JJ? That like,
yeah,
you well, know, because it's not about the quality of the running back necessarily as much as it's the quality of the of your offensive line and your commitment to it over the past couple
years. I think it goes hand in hand there where, you know, it's, you know, I was just with a family member who's a Giants fan over the weekend, and he's still lamenting them letting Saquon Barkley go. And it's like, is he going to have that good of a year behind a bad offensive line? Probably not. So, and also, I feel like this with offensive lines, it's kind of this weak link system where you could have four guys who are good players and then one guy who's a liability. Defenses are going to attack that liability over and over and over again, and you're going to struggle. I mean, the Colts last year, they, you know, Will Fries, the guy who, you know, I know was on a lot of radars in Chicago, obviously, until the recent moves, but when the Colts had Will Fries in their starting offensive line, that was a great offensive line. Across the board, five guys who were really, really good football players. All of a sudden, he goes down in week five, and the Colts did kind of struggle at times to replace him at right guard, and it did hurt their running efficiency until they got it figured out a little later in the year. So, you know, I know it's not the sexy thing to do. The sexy thing to do is to go out and get the receiver and get the tight end and get the, you know, the running back, but I think winning football still has got to start in the trenches. That's why, I mean, the Colts letting Odangbo go was not a sign that, oh, we don't care about the trenches anymore. It's that they have invested so much in that unit up front over the last couple of years that they could let Dio Odangbo go and still feel okay about the guys they have there.
JJ, as always, we appreciate your time. Say hi to my personal defensive coordinator and the boys, please.
Is that Betsy for her?
Oh, yeah. Because she knows ball.
Chuck Pagano commentary from like 5 years ago.
She let us know. She let us know. And we were happy that she was able to let us know what the hell was going on. But now he's back.
All-time moment right there.
Now he's back.
All right, good luck with the quarterback.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Good luck indeed. That is JJ Stankovic of Colts.com. I'm not kidding, Speaks. He does everything down there.
I know he does. It's really cool.
It's a, like, for a guy that was shafted, quite honestly, with the way things ended for him at NBC Sports Chicago.
He's landed quite nicely.
This thing that he's doing down in Indy is pretty awesome.
Man, there's a crazy amount of Bears news and NFL news. We're going to keep you updated on everything. And a texter mentions the tight end Durham Smythe, the former Dolphin. Huh? Our guy Logan Paulson from Washington gave some incredible analysis about that tight end that really opens up windows into what Ben Johnson's going to do.
And the other tight end, too. You want more sexy football? It's on the way next here on The Score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.